Yep. Leo, thanks for coming to my talk. Thanks for staying for so late. There's just one talk after mine, so keep going. This talk is going to be about distributed tracing in server-side Swift. And as my previous talk, this also originated from Google Summer of Code. But in my case, it was back in 2020, so you can see me pitching to the Swift forums. And that's when I started working on Swift distributed tracing with my mentor, Konrad. And since then, I've been a co-maintainer of the Swift distributed tracing library, and I also created a couple of spin-off projects, including an OpenTelemetry tracer. The agenda for today is I'll give you a quick overview of Swift observability. Then we'll take a quick deep dive into Swift distributed tracing, the library itself. Then I'll show you how to make tracing even more exciting if you pull it together with logging. And then we'll take a quick look at OpenTelemetry and Swift OTel, and then a couple next steps. So as Tim mentioned earlier, there's three signals in observability in Swift. Currently, there's logging, metrics, and then last but not least, distributed tracing. Throughout this talk, I'll be using a fake server that is a product catalog API. It's written in server-side Swift, of course, using the Hummingbird project. And you can see there's just two endpoints, one to get all products and another one to get a single product. Here we can see this server is running in VS Code. And by default, this is as much observability as we get. We can see the server started, but after that, we're kind of on our own. So let's gradually add more observability to this. First up, we have logging. Logging is where you record specific points in time, and you can attach more information to those points through metadata. But the downside is it's kind of hard to understand a full request. So for example, if I fetch the products, I may log when I start querying from the database, but I may not know how it turned out. To add logging, some additional logging here, what I'm doing is I use Hummingbird's log request middleware, and this already gives me additional logs, as you can see. So for each request that I'm sending, I get log statements and include some metadata, like the path and request method. We can also add our own custom logging. For example, here logging if the PostgreSQL request failed, and which it did in this case, unfortunately, and we got a log statement for this. Next up, we're going to add metrics. Instead of logs, metrics are aggregated, so we don't, again, look at a specific request, but we rather look at the system as a whole. And this is great for providing high-level overview of how our system is doing, and we can build stuff like alerting on top of it. To add metrics to Hummingbird, I'm, again, just adding the metrics middleware, and behind the scenes, I also set up the Swift metrics library to export metrics through Prometheus. So in this case, you can see there's the rate of active requests per endpoint, and I just hit the endpoint a bunch of times. That's why we saw a spike, and then it went down again. And now let's get to the actual topic of this talk, distributed tracing. So that's the third signal that we're adding to our product catalog API. Distributed tracing is, again, specific to one request, but as opposed to logging, it kind of gives you an overview of the entire life cycle of that request, so you can see each operation that makes up this request. You can also see both high level, like span A in this case, is a high level operation, and but then you can also get detailed and see which sub operations this is made up of, and you can also tell how long each operation takes. So this is great for detecting bottlenecks, for example. If you see that stuff is running in sequentially instead of concurrently, for example, you may want to shift things around to make the overall request faster. To add tracing, You can see the pattern now. I'm again just adding a middleware. Behind the scenes, I also set up tracing to export to a tool called Jaeger. And here is Jaeger in action. So here we can see a single trace that shows that I hit the specific product's endpoint. And if we drill down into that, we can see the span that was created. And it includes, again, metadata like the HTTP method. We can also create our own spans. So in this case, we just wrap our PostgreSQL statement in another span. And then this span, because it runs inside the request handling operation, is a child span of the one that Hummingbird created. So in Jaeger, we can see that we started with the product's endpoint, got a span for that, and then we switched over to the SQL query span. We can also add additional information to our spans using attributes. So for example, here I included the SQL statement that we're actually running. And we can also see this in Jaeger. For example, here I fetched a product that didn't exist. And in the SQL statement span, I can also see the SQL query. In this case, this was still all running within one service. So that's not really distributed tracing. It's just tracing, which is fun, but could be better. So here I'm calling out to a different server, in this case an open feature-based feature flagging system, and I'm just checking a feature flag to see if I should fake a failure in my server. And then if we hit the endpoint again, now stuff's getting interesting. So here we can see that I still started with my product's endpoint, but then I'm calling out to this thing called Flipped, which is the feature flagging system that I'm using, and we can perfectly see how much time and when we called out to this service. To take things even further, this is now integrating the product catalog in an entire microservice architecture. So it's not just the product catalog service anymore, but it's still part of this microservice. And in this case, for example, there's a couple of microservices involved, so we start by putting something in our shopping cart, which then calls out to different services, which in turn call out to product catalog, which calls out to feature flagging. And then on this slide, we can clearly see that after all this initial work is done, we then, from the API, call out to this recommendation service, for example, to get like recommended products based on what we put in the cart. But if these two would take up a bunch of time, then maybe this could indicate that we should figure out a way to parallelize this instead to speed up the overall response time. What we also get is this nice service diagram. So this clearly shows us the dependencies between our services. So here we can see who's calling the product catalog. Now that you saw how distributed tracing works in action, I'll take a quick deep dive into the Swift distributed tracing library itself. If you've ever worked with Swift Log or Swift Metrics, this is pretty familiar to you. It also provides just the interface, and then there's implementers that actually implement the tracer that is being used. Same as logging and metrics, it has this three target audiences. We have library authors, instrumentation authors, and application developers. Let's start with the library authors. These are the ones like Hummingbird, for example, async HTTP client, Postgres Neo. And their job is to start spans where it makes sense. So for example, Hummingbird starting the server span. They don't know or care about the specific tracer that is being used. They just use this abstraction provided by Swift distributed tracing. Then instrumentation authors, on the other hand, they care about which specific distributed tracing system is being used in the end, but they don't start spans themselves. They just take care of exporting those spans to the system. And then last but not least, we have application developers. So they are the ones that choose a specific tracer implementation. Then they just use libraries that have built-in support. So that could be adding Hummingbird's middleware, for example. And then optionally, as you saw, we can also create custom spans, but that's not required to get distributed tracing. So I've talked a bit about the tracer protocol. And this is what instrumentation authors would implement. Here you can see it has a couple requirements. First of all, it needs to know about the specific type of span that this tracer creates. And it, most importantly, has the ability to start spans. And then whatever a span is might be different in each specific implementation of a tracer. But for library authors or application developers, this specific type of span doesn't really matter. Speaking of spans, spans can be mutated, but only until they're finished. And you have to end them, like finish them, by calling the end methods in order for them to then be exported. So you start a span, for example, for the Postgres query, and then at some point when the Postgres query ends, you also end the span. So you have a start and an end date, and at that point, the specific tracer would export it to a tracing backend. Spans are also uniquely identified via a thing called the service context. The service context is basically a type-safe dictionary. There's nothing fancy in there. And then the specific tracer implementation puts the IDs it wants to use in there. So could be a span ID and a trace ID, for example. The service context is stored in a task local. And this is how we get automatic parent-child span relations. So for example, on this slide, I'm creating a span called parent. And then inside, I create another span called child. And this is using task locals under the hood to just give me a to establish this connection from parent to child. Again, this works great for local. But if we actually want to take tracing distributed, then we have to get the service context across boundaries as well. So it could be async or process boundaries. So if we take the example of a client server from earlier, this means that the client, when it makes a request and creates its span, it needs to inject these identifiers into the HTTP headers, and then the server needs to extract those, and then the server creates a span based on this restored service context that was propagated. This propagation is done using the instrument protocol. The instrument protocol is inherited by the tracer protocol. So if you're building a tracer protocol yourself, you also have to conform to these methods. The instrument itself is agnostic about the thing that carries it. So in the client server example, that were HTTP headers, but it could also be different kinds of metadata. What it does know about is the specific values that it wants to transport. Then, let's take things another step further and integrate tracing with logging. So this feature is built on a thing called metadata providers in SwiftLog. And basically what a metadata provider is it goes from void to logging metadata. And in case of tracing, we use these to then transform the task local service context so we can just pick up into specific log metadata. And that allows us to associate log statements with specific spans and cross-reference. So here we can see this in action. So just by choosing my metadata provider, I get these metadata fields in my logs generated by Hummingbird. And then I can just clearly see, if I search for a trace ID, which log statements belong to this request. And then I could also take this trace ID, take it to Jaeger, look up the particular trace that this belonged to. Then, let's briefly talk about OpenTelemetry. It's an open observability standard. It supports logging, metrics, distributed tracing, and hopefully soon profiling as well. It has this thing called the OpenTelemetry protocol, and this is how different components that speak OpenTelemetry's language talk to each other. And it's supported by a variety of observability tools. So if you have something that speaks OTA, you can pretty much use any observability backend you want. Speaking of, if you do want to do that in Swift, we have Swift OTEL. And Swift OTEL provides these OTLP exporters. Currently for distributed tracing and also for metrics. Logging is in the works, and it's done by being an instrumentation author. So it implements the tracer protocol, so it knows how to start spans in an OpenTelemetry format, and then it knows how to export those spans to an OTLP-compatible backend. This is how we can bootstrap Swift OTL. So here we can see we just created a gRPC span exporter, which means that we sent these spans via OTLP over gRPC to the observability backends. We have a bunch of other stuff in the setup, like batching the spans to not export them as soon as they ended, but first create a batch and then export that batch. And then we just create our OTL tracer. And then this last line is very familiar if you work with Swift Log or Swift Metrics. That's where we just bootstrap the system. And at that point, everyone that creates spans, including libraries that you're using, but also the spans that you create on your own, will start using OTL under the hood without needing additional libraries like Hummingbird OpenTelemetry, for example, or Postgres OpenTelemetry. It's just Postgres and Hummingbird supporting Swift distributed tracing as the abstraction layer, and then you as the end user say, I do want to use the OpenTelemetry tracer, and that's how it works, as easy as that. Next steps, I quickly teased the logging integration in Swift OTL. So we do have the metadata provider, which puts trace and span IDs inside your log statements. But we want to go a step further and also export, because OpenTelemetry supports logging metrics and distributed tracing. We want to export Swift log statements via OTLP as well. Then we want to roll out Swift distributed tracing into more libraries to get even more of this magic for free. So for example, earlier you saw me wrapping the Postgres statement myself. Instead, it would be nice for Postgres Neo to have built-in support for Swift distributed tracing, so I don't have to do that anymore. Same for the async HTTP client, but at least for this one, I already created a pull request. So yeah, check it out. And then finally, we want to get to a Swift OTL 1.0, which will then include log exporting as well. Thank you so much for listening. I have some handy QR codes here if you want to check out Swift distributed tracing.
We have time for questions.
Anyone? Last call? Oh, go ahead.
Very simple. Can you put your slides up, please?
Yes, I will do that after the talk. Yep. And the example that I've been using, the whole microservice demo, will be on GitHub as well.
Oh, go ahead.
I have a question. Oh, sorry. Is there any plan to integrate it with?
Let's say the question was if distributed actors in Swift already support distributed tracing. They don't at this point, but Conrad is kind of teasing it. So yes, it could work. I played around with it in the past as well. I don't know of future plans of distributed actors, but feel free to ask Conrad about it.
There is actually a documentation written to be done. It's okay. To be done.
And then Sebastian, you had one?
Yeah, do you know if there is already an implementation for
X-Ray? Yeah, I do have a support library called Swift OTL X-Ray. Sorry, I have to repeat the question. The question was if Swift distributed tracing works with Amazon X-Ray already, and the answer is yes. I did use it at a previous job, and for that I just had to create an additional support library, because the way X-Ray does context propagation is a bit different. Their trace IDs look different from the standard that OpenTelemetry uses. So like briefly go back to this setup, here we can see that I'm using the auto random ID generator and the W3C propagator. If you want to use X-ray, you just configure it with an X-ray specific ID generator and an X-ray specific propagator, and then you're done. And these two are implemented in the Swift Auto X-ray repository.
All right, that's it. All right, more questions in Matrix chat or meet them in the hallway. I'm sure you'd love a high five. Great shirt color. And thank you so much for the detailed talk. I love when my two worlds collide. I'm a recovering Kubernetes maintainer, so it's always great to see cloud native crashing with Swift. Amazing. Thank you so much.